Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest here has just an incredible story. There's really no other way to put it. First of all, he was a first-round pick, so you know he could play. He's on the A's, was with the Cardinals to start. His mom passed away from ALS. He's from Pleasanton, California, which is the East Bay. Mm-hmm. An incredible story and a lot of things to get into with Steve Piscotty with the A's, their outfielder, who's with us on the show here. Steve, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today, man? Welcome to our show. What's happening?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously you heard me reference your mom. We want to get into that a little bit for sure. It's such a big part of your story and so well chronicled. But at least on a lighter note, a happier note out of the chute, 2012, you were a first-round pick, mm-hmm. and the draft is going on now. Kids are getting the calls from the GMs and the mm-hmm. teams and dreams fulfilled. What was it like when the phone rang? Did you expect to be a first-round pick? What was it like for you back then?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I remember it's just weird timing. When I was at Stanford, you're playing these regionals, and you're playing these super competitive games, trying to make it to the College World Series, and then you got this draft kind of looming, and it's a pretty interesting time. And for me, I had a good sense that I could go relatively early in the draft, and had a little draft party back home with my family and some coaches that meant a lot to me kind of throughout my young career. And it was an interesting process. I had gotten calls early in the first round. They wanted to take me, but they didn't want to pay me the slot money, and we decided to pass on that. And then I remember the Brewers were going to take me at, I think, pick 38, and they called and asked me if I'd sign. I said, yeah, absolutely, let's do it.
Yeah, you know,
and then just two picks before that, the Cardinals came on the screen, who I had not talked to at all, and my name just popped up, and that was that.
Wow.
You know what's interesting, Steve, because it's a funny, how it works out, and it turned out, I think, the right path for you. But yeah. In the NFL, you're not talking to anybody before they draft you. Hey, you going to sign this deal? It's like, of course I'm going to sign the deal. Wherever you take me, I don't have a choice. Yeah. It's like you got baseball players, it seems like so much more power in this draft process. It's funny. Yesterday I had Frank Thomas and Mo Vaughn in studio, and they were talking about, it's going to college versus going to high school, going straight out of high school. And they said, look, if the money's right, I'll go straight out of high school. Yeah. I mean, so much of this is a pre-negotiation, which we don't really see from a consumer standpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little different. And, teams got to juggle, they have a certain amount of money that they can spend on their first 10 picks. And, it's if you want more than they want to give you, then you kind of hose the rest of their draft picks. So that there's another element to it that's pretty interesting.
We're talking to Steve Piscotty from the A's, their outfielder, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You guys have gotten a little cool here. You lost five straight. You were red hot for a while. You at one point won 10 of 11. So we have a couple of team-specific things we want to throw by you. But I also wanted to ask you this, because Tiki and I debated this. We do a segment called Inbounds, Out of Bounds, and one of the questions was, or one of the points was, that we had to react to, for the first time ever, within the first six or seven picks of the Major League draft, there was not a pitcher selected. All position players, thumpers, guys that can mash. And I just believe there's, a shifting devaluing, if you will, of pitchers. And I don't know if it's going to change, Steve, because all these hitters, no offense, you guys strike out a lot these days. I mean, there's no punishment for whiffing. So why am I going to give a pitcher with a pitch limit, an innings limit? It's not the 80s or the 70s where, Nolan Ryan's going to throw 277 innings like Tom Seaver. It's different. Do you think that this is an aberration, or this is a new shift in the draft philosophy?
I mean, that's a good question. I haven't really considered that point, but I think it's well taken. I think there has been a shift. I mean, guys are throwing harder than ever now, and I think with the increase in velocity, shoulders, elbows, those things kind of pop up on injury reports more often, and that's just the way the game's moving. I mean, the velo is just going way up, and with that, I mean, so are sliders. I mean, it's not just fastballs. I mean, guys are throwing sliders at 90 miles an hour.
Yep.
you're going to strike out more when that's going on. And that's just kind of the name of the game. And the game really is changing. And, you know, it's an interesting take on that. You know, there could be something to that. But, you know, it's a different, weird era, I think, in baseball right now where we're seeing a dramatic shift.
Yeah, no, I think it is, and it's part entertaining and it's part you know, confounding in ways, because you're used to seeing it a different way. Let's get to the A's a little bit. I think last year was a great season for you guys. 97 wins. You unfortunately were in the wild card and you lost to BT's Yankees. I guess my Yankees too, because we're both here in the north in the Northeast.
And by the way, Steve, the fact that he says I guess my Yankees too means
I'm from Virginia, man. I didn't grow up a Yankees fan like BT.
CC's his best bud, one of his good buddies.
Exactly.
That's
but you, as you come into this season, there was a stretch where you guys were on a run. I remember noting this at the beginning of the season. I think you won 10 games in a row, and now you've gotten cool. Where do you feel this team is, especially after the success from last season?
You know, I think we're doing okay. We're obviously not happy with a bit of a slow start. We had a slow start last year, but you know, really that's no excuse. You know, it's better to get out of the gate, you know, coming out hot. You know, I think last year was a tremendous year. You know, a lot of guys, including myself, kind of had career years, and this year we're I think struggling a little bit. But I think one thing that is apparent to me is, you know, last year we didn't have all that much expectation, and we burst on the scene, and now we have this expectation. In baseball, it's a tough thing to handle, and I think we're kind of going through that, figuring out how to handle that. But the fact of the matter is we got good, and we're going to have to, you know, learn and figure out how to handle that expectation. And I have no doubt that we will, but it may just take a little bit of time. You know, we've had some injuries that have kind of hurt us a little bit. You know, this year we haven't been, you know, at full health, but we've had a lot of guys step in and do a great job. So I don't know, we're kind of in this in between, but you know, give it a couple weeks. I think we're going to break out here and start winning a lot of ball games.
You know, Steve, one of the things that I think I only knew this maybe more than the average baseball fan, because I worked in San Francisco long before you went there, just for a little bit. And I got to, you know, spend some time around Bob Melvin. And obviously the Giants, too, with Bruce Bochy. But the one thing about Melvin, and I would imagine you shared this opinion, because as a major leaguer, you know which managers know what's up and which ones are a little sloppy. I know that you always had probably respect for Bob Melvin from a distance, but playing for him, I think he's the most underrated manager in baseball. I think he's borderline brilliant. I think he's great at what he does. Is he even better than you thought before you were traded there?
Yeah, I mean, the best way I can sum it up is he just gets it. He just gets it from a you know, front office perspective and a player perspective. He has this tremendous way to kind of balance the two out. And you know, one of the things about him that, I mean, I just feel like he has my back, and I think a lot of guys on the team feel the same way. And underrated, maybe. I mean, he won the AL Manager of the Year last year, so that was, you know, pretty high honor, and not the first time he's won that.
Yeah, but Steve, think about this. The people who vote on that are the people connected to the game. I mean, people kind of on the periphery, like the fringe fans, and I don't mean the guys and gals who cover the sport. They obviously know what's up. I mean everybody else.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, but part of the reason why I think he is so great is, you know, level-headed, keeps things simple, and he's not the flamboyant type. That's just not his persona. But
not at all.
Like I was saying, he just gets it, and I love playing for him. You know, I got tossed the other night, the first time in my career, and he was right behind me, and he got tossed. Like he's got your back. You know, he's a great manager.
Okay, I want to go back to something you said before. In your words, you said, you know, it's a different, weird era right now, talking about the strikeouts and obviously encompassing everything with baseball. I remember Tiki was out when we had Pete Rose in studio. No, I'm sorry. Well, Pete, no, Joe Morgan, actually asked this question. I'm not Pete. I asked Joe, you know, one thing that I feel is really missing from the game, you know, obviously triples and, you know, the gapper where the outfielder's got to relay it to the shortstop. I just feel like there's a lot of inaction, strikeouts, walks, and bombs. You say the game is different and is a bit of a weird era. As a player, is it as exciting as it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s with all the inaction? I feel like it's not, but I'm not playing.
That's a good question, too. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it's pretty interesting from a player perspective. I mean, there's so much data now that we're kind of handed and given, and different ways to think about the game that no one's really been thinking about before. And so there's some interesting aspects to that from the player perspective, whether that's translating to the fans and whether they're getting excited about the infield doing a ridiculous shift or putting four outfielders out there when Matt Olson's up. I don't know if they're getting the same excitement from that or not.
Yeah, that.
It's just different. And I don't know. It's in my opinion, kind of eroding away some of the awesome lessons that you can pick up from this game. It used to be, okay, we need to figure out how to move a guy over.
Yep.
Now they just shift you and they pitch you inside and you just like physically can't really do it. And there's certain – I mean, I was taught to hit the ball up the middle. I mean, 80% of the time there's a second baseman right behind second base. So that's no longer a good approach for me. I've really got to shift it way over and to the right side. So there's just certain things that I grew up being taught that are kind of getting eroded away. And I don't know if it's for the better or not. But
No, I feel you. It's a good description. You take it through the box, you get rewarded. Keep the hands back and just try to go through the middle. Now you get penalized. There's like in softball, somebody playing short set of field. It's wacky. Oh, yeah. My God.
And that's why I think guys are trying to go for the home run now, is because, I mean, you hit a ball on the ground, it's most likely going to get caught. It's just the computer knows, and we're battling against other big leaguers, but also these large data sets.
Stephen Biscotti of the A's is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Stephen, BT mentioned this at the top of the interview, and we all remember this last two off seasons ago. You requested basically to be traded out to home. Oakland's in the East Bay where you're from, because you wanted to be around your mother who had ALS and passed away, unfortunately. Our condolences last May, I believe. What's it been like coming home, especially under those circumstances, and playing a game you grew up playing and loved?
Yeah, and just to say how it truly happened, it wasn't something that I requested. I mean, this is something that the Cardinals and A's put their heads together on.
Oh, wow.
On my behalf, and
wow.
It was just I was blown away. I didn't, because you don't hear about that happening, and I feel like it was kind of a first of its kind as far as a move like that. But it was an interesting time when I did get traded, because I love St. Louis. My mom loves St. Louis. She loved coming there and watching games. She, I don't know if she felt bad, but she knew I loved that place. But, I mean, to be able to come home and be there for what all was going on was just so, so important. I can't imagine I've been 2,000 miles away with what was going on. And it allowed me to have many more lasting memories and that comfort of being around. So that was just really huge. And I'm grateful to both organizations on that front.
We all fell for
you
when we heard the story. Of course, we referenced the story on the air. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you push anything aside and actually try to focus on hitting an exploding slider when you were dealing with what I don't know how you did it, Stephen. You know, I asked you about when you were drafted. So that was 2012, and ALS has different teeth depending upon the individual. Mm-hmm. Was your mom fully healthy the night that you were drafted, or the day that you were drafted?
Yeah,
she was.
We found out in 2017 in May.
Wow, that was aggressive.
She was in like the 99th percentile as far as speed. Just incredibly fast, which was unfortunate. And that's from point of diagnosis. She was noticing her foot. She was having issues kind of moving it.
And
that had been going on about a year prior.
Well, listen, man. First of all, get off the schneid, man. Lost five games in a row. Let's get a win here for the A's. Well, come on. Enough of this nonsense. You guys are doing well. Let's go.
We want to root for you guys for sure.
We'll get it back going.
Good.
No doubt. And those A's fans, they're not always there 25 or 30,000 deep, but they are loud and they're ferocious. So
they are the loudest in baseball, no doubt.
They're nuts.
They're in earshot of me in right field, so it's awesome.
Oh, I know. They're banging the drums. They're maniacs out there. Stephen, great conversation, man. Really nice having you on the show.
Yeah, I know you guys are on an extended road trip, and you have a game tonight. Good luck, and I appreciate you hopping on and sharing a little bit of your story.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.